Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old brows. I'm Ronnie, and that's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, what's up?
Well, everybody, welcome to the show today. We had kind of a show disaster yesterday. We did Real Housewives of Atlanta, and then we did Married to Medicine right after. Guess what? We don't have a recording of it. We fucked it up.
Yeah, and we weren't gonna do all the recording again. Actually, I couldn't have even done it again because when I go through my notes, whenever I do any podcast, I erase my notes as I go along so that way I don't get lost in them. And so by the end of the recording, or lack thereof, I had already erased all my notes. So I guess a top level thing is, so it was funny, and Simone...
It was funny. We love Married to Medicine, but we fucked up. So for everybody who is coming to listen to that, sorry. We will have, we are going to start pairing. We did a full recap for the first episode, but then we're going to pair the Sunday night shows together on Monday starting next week. So we'll talk about both Atlanta and Married to Medicine next Monday. But for now, here we are with Below Deck Selling Yacht.
Yes, starring Lisa Vanderpump. Not really. So I wrote down Daisy, Gary, Natasha, Danny, Colin, Sydney, Ali, Jean-Luc, because I was like, I don't remember any of their names.
I have to write down their names for at least the first 6 weeks. And actually, I've got the show. I'm skimming through so I could hear the end of the theme song. Do you know how it goes, Ben? Because, you know, all the theme songs are different.
The Below Deck Sailing theme song is like very spirited. It's like, doo-doo, you know?
Yeah. The other one, there's something at the end. It's like, ah, which is Frozen. And I know it's not that. Wait, hold on. Oh.
Because regular.
It's someone singing like, ah. And it sounds like some song, and I don't know what it is, but in my head, it's, which is Frozen, which now I've made every mother.
It sounds a little bit like Stairway to Heaven to me. Led Zeppelin presents Below Deck. Well, you know, they have come a long way in their theme songs. The original Below Deck is like, has almost no melody. It's like, dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. So that's like all it is. And then Below Deck Med has a little bit more. I think Below Deck Med is like, I can't think of it now that I did the regular Below Deck one. It's like, dun, 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 dun. It's also like
dun, 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 dun.
Oh, wait, I know it goes like this.
That's the Morongo Casino.
O'Reilly's Below Deck. That's how Below Deck Med goes.
But anyway, this one is. And it sounds like something, and it's making me freaking crazy. But guess what? Here we are with Daisy, Gary, Natasha, Daisy. Danny, Colin, Sydney, Ali, Jean-Luc, and Glenn.
Oh, I promised I was going to work on my Daisy accent before I started podcasting today, and I totally forgot. So everyone enjoy this moment right now while I have Irish in my mouth, because soon I'll start speaking Australian and I'll never go back. Because once I start speaking Australian, I can't revert the accent.
Yeah, this is a hodgepodge of terrible accents, so buckle up, everybody, okay?
Buckle up.
So we start with Jean-Luc. Be sure to keep an eye on the guests. And he's like, oh, I'm tall. I'm really tall. Hey, anybody hear about how tall I am? And then meanwhile, he's talking about like being tall. And where are the douchey old white guys? They're lost. They're gone. Okay. They're probably dead somewhere.
They fell down the hatch. So so it's like Jean-Luc has to go find the guys. So he's out there on the tender, just, you know, looking for them. He's like, Greg, he should have been yelling cocaine, and he would have appeared right there.
No kidding. But I can't get my dog to come to me, so now I just always carry a pretzel around, you know, and just like just start chewing on. I'll like eat half of it, and he'll hear it wherever he is. Okay, he could be blocks away, and he'll be like, there's a pretzel being eaten.
So they're looking, they actually are looking for Greg for like 90 minutes, which is pretty crazy. Also, like, fuck Greg for being gone for 90 minutes. Of course he's the person who just goes off and everyone gets word, and he's like, yeah man, yeah, I was just hiking, yeah.
So yeah, nice guy who was off with the nice friend that doesn't have a name in our books.
Yeah,
right?
Alex. His name is Alex. So Nikki, you know, Nikki hates Greg. You can just tell she hates Greg. You know, Greg is clearly Rusty's friend because Nikki is the charter. She's the primary, and Rusty is her husband. Rusty and Greg are both terrible. And Nikki seems cool, but she's just like stuck with these guys. And she's like, what's the common denominator in everything that goes wrong? Greg.
And now Jean-Luc is like, Greg, but he's not answering his radio. So now they're like, oh God, now Greg's not answering his radio. And then, of course, you know, he finds them because it's below deck. They're not dead. It's below deck, guys. They find them. They were just hiking in Speedos and, you know, no shoes or whatever. Speedos and flip-flops, whichever it is. No one goes hiking in Speedos and flip-flops. Were you getting blowjobs on that island? What was happening on that island?
There were Rocky blowjobs, Croatian blowjobs. So, yeah, they get
them.
They're
the most gorgeous people in the world, the Croatians. That's where the most models come from, I think. I worked at a place with a bunch of Croatians when I was younger in New York. And, my God, those people, everyone was gorgeous. Every single one of them was gorgeous.
Well, a few summers ago, I went on a family vacay. We went on a little cruise. And we stopped in Split, Croatia. And everyone was like an Abercrombie model. I was like, wow, look at all these...
Yeah,
very pretty white people.
I will never feel as insecure as I would in Croatia. Okay, that's the point.
Yeah, Split. I didn't like Split, actually. Maybe they'll go there this season. Who knows? So, in case anyone's wondering, my thoughts on Split, Croatia. There they were.
There's your Split review.
There's my Split review written by Captain Lee. You know what
God
I say
damn
to? You know what I say to Split? You're getting a one-way ticket back to Dubrovnik, okay?
God,
that's where
it.
The real heart is. That's the fun, Dubrovnik.
So they need a ride to get back. Okay, now my dog's just running everywhere. What are you doing? Go on, run out.
Almost
there.
Like he has a split personality.
My dog, not Croatian. Okay, you're homely.
Listen, honey, before you start talking shit about Croatia, I just want to point out it has a wonderful history and delicious food. How about that, honey?
My dog just pooped, and so he feels like he deserves an Academy Award, and I'm not paying attention to him, so he's just running around in circles.
There are some people who do get Academy Awards, or at least nominations for pooping. Looking at you, Robert Duvall and the judge. So...
Did Tom Hanks get nominated when he had trouble peeing in the Green Mile? Because that could be another. It could be another bathroom Oscar.
I'm not familiar. But I'm sure that if you go back and watch Monster, I'm sure Charlize Theron took a dump in that movie. It's a very, like, because it's real. That shit's real. No pun intended. So, so they bring Greg back to the boat, and Nikki's like, they were hiking. This fuckface was hiking. He's like, And then they're almost there, and Greg's like, don't worry, we're going to paddle back. I'm like, you do not get to touch that paddleboard again, Greg. Get
off. Yeah, you're no longer allowed on the paddleboard, Greg. So Jean-Luc is like, God, losing the guest, that is a real resume killer. But they bring him back, and Danny and Allie are talking, and Danny's like, what are you going to do with these covers? And Allie's like, well, I don't remember who told me what I had to do with the covers. Someone told me I had to do something with them, but I don't quite remember what they told me about it.
Yeah, there's like a lot of murmuring about these covers, and I just wrote down some controversy with covers. I was like, whatever, this probably won't matter. And of course, it's like the central.
I knew it was going to matter because it's someone asking about something in the laundry room, okay? And then it's somebody saying, I know somebody gave me directions, but I forgot what they were. So Danny's like, oh, just put them in the bilge. We'll just use
in the bilge.
Yeah.
Put the covers in the bilge. I'm Russian and Brazilian at the same time. So, So now Greg is paddling back and he falls in the water, which serves him right. And Natasha. I told you I'd do this. Natasha's in the kitchen making mayonnaise. And then this is what cracked me up, is that they're going to be doing an 80s party, which for these guests, I'm like, so are you just going to just show up? Like, what is this? is that how this party's gonna work? Because it yeah. sort of looks like it already is one. So yeah. Daisy's like, everyone, okay, everyone, go get ready for the 80s party. Put on your best Bono outfit.
Are you ready for the 80s party, huh?
And Natasha's like, oh, so this is cool. We have burgers. We have fries. Vegan. I'm making mayo. Vegan mayo. Do you want to taste, Allie? She's like, is it vegan? I just said it was vegan. Yeah. Okay.
I'm playing with Asian flavors. Squash and edamame burger with a yuzu ketchup. I was like, I trust that it'll taste good because she seems like she's a really good chef. But if I ask for a veggie burger, I'm not sure if I want squash and edamame mixed together, but we'll see. We would see.
I mostly don't trust it because Natasha is so confident, and she, and you know, because she says things like this, I'm really fucking confident. And I always worry about people like that because they're usually not as good as they say, but so far everybody's loving everything that she's putting out.
Yeah, it's true. So they're setting the table and there's records as like chargers or placemats on the table, which is cute. And Greg is putting guyliner on someone. Then there's like a scene of Gary scaring Allie in the laundry room. And she's like, you scared me. I don't know why I wrote that down.
And he goes, oh, I've never heard that before.
And Allie tells us, he flirts with everyone. What else are we going to do? We're on a boat and he flirts with everyone.
He's like, oh, so you've got a hamburger and a hot dog roll, which is kind of unorthodox, right?
And Natasha's like, you're lucky you have food, stupid. Okay?
Get out of my face, Lego man. So, yeah, so now everyone's getting dressed up for the 80s. And so the staff also dresses up for the 80s. And so so Danny winds up in some like short wig that doesn't really look 80s to me. It just looks mom. It looks very mom. She's like, I am now 80s, okay? Does anyone need a refill on their snackables? I'm your mom now.
So the guys are, you know, really playing up the 80s thing. They're like, hey, yeah, you know who's going to get my hall pass tonight? Nikki's like, shut up, friend of Greg. I'm sure this is Greg's fault somehow. He's like, but come on, guys. 87 was good. Let's make 88 rad.
And then Daisy puts on her wig. And her wig is like remember in Dear John, the lady who ran that class, the support group, I should say? That's basically what Daisy's wig is. It's the Dear John, you know, support group leader hair. And it makes her look like, she looks like every like working class mom character in a quirky Irish movie I've ever seen. She's like, oh, you're going down to the bar to sing your songs? Oh, well, you better come back. You got your chores. You know you're never going to go anywhere with your singing. You know?
I think it's the only decade where people worked really hard to make it look like they didn't do shit to their hair. Because those wigs were actually kind of accurate, and they were just out of a bag from an Amazon box, you know? It's like just terrible hair. They're like, okay, terrible hair delivery. And it worked.
More footage of Jean-Luc struggling to sleep in his bed. And then people are sitting down, and the vegan burgers are coming out. And Allie has now been, she's been sent down to the rooms to clean up. And Daisy's like, can you do this in an hour? And Allie's like, sure, shouldn't be a problem. And then she just starts working very, very,
very slowly. She tells her,
well, it used to take, you know, last time I did it, it took 2 hours.
She's like, well, it's supposed to take one. Can you do it in one?
She's like, oh, yeah, sure, I can.
And then it's like, you know, the snail on the aquarium just going really, really slow. And then we see her cleaning. They love showing Allie cleaning slowly because they're like, look, we've got French fries. Allie cleaning slowly.
Oh, look, what is this? Ouzu ketchup?
Allie cleaning very slowly and emptying water from trash cans.
And just like piles of sheets and garbage, and Daisy checks in. She's like, how you doing? Think you'll be done in half an hour? And she's like, yeah, I think I'll be done pretty soon. It's like, all right, because hopefully she has half a brain, because to be a junior stew, that's all you really need is half a brain. And just like Allie being like, all right then, I'm just gonna fold this shoe into the laundry. It's like, oh dear.
So Gary's outside with Sydney, and they're working and getting the little boat dinghy or whatever you call it in. And he's like, "You all right down there?" And she's like, "Oh, yeah, we're okay. We're buds. Like, you know, we get along because he's more of a sailor than a yachty. And us sailors are more loose. And so, you know, I'm fine with, can you move that? You all right? Do you need help with that?" She's like, "I'm strong, okay? I'm stronger than you think."
Yeah, that's not good. This is not going to be a disaster at all. And then it's a Jean-Luc trying to get comfortable in his bed. And now it's 9:35. It's been an hour and 35 minutes since Turndown started, and Allie is still cleaning. Now she's just brought her stuff all into the hallway. So she's just like sitting on the hallway and has bottles and towels. I don't know what's going on down there, but she's created actually more of a mess.
And one of the ladies and her man come down to take a little nap. And she's like, "What are we supposed to do?" He's like, "Well, that hall is full of stuff." She's like, "I'm going down anyway." But he doesn't. He goes down. And so Allie's just on the ground with Lego pieces of a vacuum. Like, I don't even know what's going on with that vacuum.
She's it's like she decided to.
"Have a dinner with you guys. We have a good dinner."
"Don't mind me. I just decided it would be fun to put together IKEA furniture right here."
Yeah. She's
give
like,
"Give me five more minutes."
"It was great. Great, Allie. Thank you. You did such a great job. Okay, just going to step over. Okay. Stepped on a piece of vac. Okay, that hurt. All right, well, thank you.
"Allie, as much as we admire your commitment to recreating the Eiffel Tower out of Legos, what we really need you to do is move this into the crew mess right now. Thanks."
Now, Colin, I think, has been brought onto this show because a great tradition of Below Deck is just pure misogyny, right? So I think they're like, "Guys, we don't have enough yet. Just bring Colin. Let's just have Colin instigate everything all the time, okay?"
Does he have a child in Florida? Does he have a child in Florida that we can use?
Actually, Colin is in a stable relationship, which is kind of awkward, but he is willing to make other people look like misogynists.
Is his girlfriend in Florida? Because, I don't know, stability, I need some Florida in him. Does he have a girlfriend in Florida by any, or is it somewhere else?
He is dating a boat that he bought in a hurricane, so seems pretty committed to that, which is awkward, but he will try and ruin a guy's life.
Okay, I think we can make that work with the I miss my child storyline. We could just do boat instead of child. I think that works. Okay, great. Yeah, let's just do boat.
We'll just stick with miss my boat. So Colin's talking to Gary, and he's like, "Well, hey, this crew's pretty hot. Who are you going to bang first, bro? Who are you going to bang? Listen, I can't bang anyone because I'm happy. I have a girlfriend who's a boat, and we're happy. So who are you going to screw first? Who are you going to screw? Who are you going to screw, bro? Who are you going to do it? You're a man, aren't you? Screw girl."
"No way." "No way." And then Colin says, I have a girlfriend on a boat in Panama. Okay, the girlfriend is the boat. I'm not going to lie. It's my girlfriend and my daughter and also a boat. Same thing altogether. And I'm living vicariously through Gary right now. He's a clown. I love it."
So then it's bedtime, and it's time for Gary to give Jean-Luc his overnight duties. And he's like,
"All right, need to take the salt, the stainless, the windows, the bindos, the ticking, the flooring, the stand upside down and do a little window washing."
You're just making things up now. And poor Jean-Luc looks like he's going to cry.
I know. And then Gary goes into his bunk because he shares it with Glenn, and he's like, "So JL has been having some problems sleeping." And Glenn's like, "Oh, well, that's going to be a problem. He's a big guy. I mean, I got to get on three step stools just to shake his hand. You know what I'm saying? He's a big guy. Oh, wow.
He's a real good guy, too. Oh, he's a miss."
So then the girls are talking in their room, the three-girl room. And Allie's like, "You know, I didn't even drink until 3 years ago. And I actually opened the bottle of wine 4 years ago. So it took quite a while for me to get to it, actually."
It's a year-long process of twisting that thing. And Daisy's like, "Oh, I love to drink alcohol. Like, I crave it. I just crave some alcohol. Not saying I'm an alcoholic or anything like that, but I need some alcohol right now." See, I made her Australian again. I told you, I still enjoy the Irish while you had it.
So then Jean-Luc is like, oh man, I can't find the covers. Sydney, Jean-Luc, look, I don't like to feel stupid, but I don't know where anything is. God, looking around takes so much time. Where are the covers? You know what? I'm just going to go to the captain's. I think I'll just wake up the captain and my boss. Okay. I want to wake up both my bosses at the same time.
Yeah, and then, you know, Danny is awake, and she's cleaning in the galley. And, like, does he ever think to maybe go to the person who's awake first and say, have you seen anything that looks like covers in the laundry or around the boat? Like, because she was like, oh, yeah, you know, like, I think that there were covers in the bilge or there are covers in the laundry, you know. But, like, he just goes right to the captain first.
Yeah. Oh, my God, waking me up. Have some initiative, man. Just look for it, mate.
So Sydney hears them, and she comes out. She comes out of bed to show him where it is. And she's like, I would never wake up my boss. I mean, that is a bad, bad, bold idea. Okay?
Yeah.
Where's that accent from? Nobody knows. I'm from
Kowast. Kowast. I'm from the country of Sabah.
Kowast.
So then Gary, they finally, like, they're looking around, and Gary's like, I don't think that he likes being alone on the ship. That's what I think. And now basically they find it. They find the covers in the bilge. And then JL does this annoying thing where they finally find the covers, and he's like, guys, I hate that I just called him JL. Jean-Luc. He's like, guys, please go back to bed. Go back to bed. No, yeah. Don't help. Go back. It's like, yeah, you don't have to tell them. You don't have to see that dust cloud in the shape of Gary. He's not even here anymore. You don't have to.
Yeah. And Gary forgives him in that way that means no forgiveness on below deck. He's like, I'm really sorry I couldn't find him. And he goes, cool beans.
Cool beans is the you're in the doghouse now. Yeah,
that's a fuck you fucker of below deck.
Yeah. So now it's the morning and the guests are waking up, and Rusty is back in his red tracksuit. They're not making, they're actually not being all annoying about sailing, although they do wind up going sailing. But Jean-Luc hits his head on the door because he forgot he was tall or that there was a door.
Okay, so then we find out that Natasha is that person at work who just won't shut up about her own fucking life, okay? It's like TMI constantly. So Colin's in there, and he's just like getting coffee or something. He's like, hello, how you doing? And she's like, oh, you know, I'm doing really, really good. You know, like, people sometimes think I'm a bitch, but you know what? I'm just hardcore. Like this life makes me hardcore. He's like, oh, really? Well, great, love some coffee, love getting coffee. Yes, well, I lived with my grandma, and you know, there was a lot of drugs and stuff when I was growing up. I was like, okay, great. Have you seen the creamer?
Any creamer down here?
She's like, at 18, I was married. At 23, I was divorced. Married, eh? Oh, you didn't know that? How would he know that?
Yeah, and... And, you know, the thing is this, you know, I was in a broken place. I was living in the streets. And do you know what saved me? I'm just going to guess food. Food saved me. Did you apply for Top Chef? What's that?
So he gets, and she's like going really fast, just everything. It's like, okay, you know, people think I'm a bitch, but I'm hardcore because life sucks. You know, I lived with my grandma, everybody was on drugs, and then at 18 I got married, and then it was 23 hours divorced. He was abusive and an alcoholic. I mean, I should have been dead. You know, thank God for park benches, am I right? Okay, talk to you later.
It's like, wow, that was a download. Felt like Neo in the Matrix.
Oh, it's a lot.
So
Jean-Luc, and that's always the one with the candy dish at their desk, you know, like you have to go to their desk. And she's the one with the coffee at her desk. Like you have to go over there.
So so Jean-Luc did not wipe down the deck. And then Daisy and Allie are setting up the breakfast table. And Daisy's like, the more crap you put out, the more people will go, wow. That's why I put an NYCD at each one of their places.
So 80s.
My favorite Enya song goes like this. Ah, so relaxing.
Just like the theme of this show here we're on. Ah,
doodle, ah, doodle, ah. God, I love singing. Almost as much as I love alcohol.
Gotta crave it.
I crave the singing and the alcohol.
they're eating breakfast. The guests are having... Well, Glenn's like, did you guys sleep well? Hope you slept well. Everything's good. Great. Don't go to the kitchen. That lady will talk your damn head off. All right. Just fair warning. And they're like, well, what's the plan, Captain? He's like, well, we're going to head back 11, 12. Who knows? I mean, who cares if we even sail today? Am I right?
So then they start, so we now have breakfast service, which is like a Mediterranean breakfast with like baba ganoush and spreads and everything. And there's pita bread. Ronnie, were you triggered when, I think it was Greg, but it may have been Rusty, called the pita bread shells?
No, but I was triggered by the pita bread that was floppy like a corn tortilla. I'm not really sure what kind of pita bread that was, but pita bread does not flop around like
but
that.
I'll take a Pinot Grigio.
I'll I'm take not a sure Pinot Grigio, please.
A Pinot Grigio. So then we got like a super petty fight that really worked for me. Like this is the kind of fight I like. So basically, they go through their pitas really quickly, and they want more. So Daisy goes down, like they want more pitas, and
what? There's like 20 pita there.
Which you think at that point that's just it, and then she'll just make some more. And the Daisy goes, really? 20 up there? You didn't put out 20 of those?
But yes, I did.
20 pitas?
I did. I put 20 pitas there.
Why is she blatantly lying about the pita bread? My job is to help Natasha, but if she's going to lie about the pitas, who knows what else she'll lie about? I bet she has 5 heads under that dress.
You didn't put out 20. I did. So then she
like,
goes...
Why are you starting up with her, Daisy? Like... If she
maybe
put
she
out
was
20...
just exaggerating, you know? It's like me. If I'm waiting in line too long, I'm like, I waited in line 6 hours. No, you know, it wasn't 6 hours, okay? It was probably like 30 seconds. It's just...
But also, given how flat those pitas were, there might have actually been 20 in there, because sometimes it could be... I mean, I don't know. I saw them taking pitas, and it looked like they definitely... Daisy was saying there was like 4 to 5 pitas, but I think there was more than 5 pitas that went up, like maybe 10 or whatever. But like, I just don't understand why Daisy was like, you're saying that there's 20 pitas in that basket.
You're blatantly lying to me, girl.
Who do you think you are?
It did get really intense. So then she goes upstairs and she sees Allie, who's, of course, like kind of standing there holding her arm, confused. And she's like, Allie, or Ollie, as I say, Ollie, did you see the pita? And she's like,
well, I did see it. There was one each of the pita. Oh, well, really? Because she said 20. 20? No, it wasn't 20, no.
If one basket of pita is going at 20 miles per hour from the west, and another basket of pita's coming on a yacht at 10 kilometers from the east, how fast are the pita's going until they make 20 together?
I'm taking apart the vacuum immediately is all I know.
Oh no, that's a pita. Now we're down to 19.
Well, she said 20, and I said 4, and she said I made 20, and I'm pretty sure it didn't happen. And if she doesn't make enough, it's my job to solve it. But to lie, that's a confrontation over a pita bread.
I'm like, you were the one who made it a confrontation. She said, oh, I made 20, and you just said, okay, well, could you make some more? Like... You don't have to have, like, stop everything to be like, 20 pitas, you know?
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
So then the guys are like, you guys want to jump in naked? Yes, the 80s. What happens on a yacht stays on a yacht. One of them, probably the nice one, is like, not this yacht. Guys, we're on TV right now, guys.
Yeah. So then there's skinny dipping, which is like a lot of, it was one of those things where the pixelation needed to be more aggressive. You know, it was like, it's like that butt crack really, Greg's butt crack really shone through the pixelation. You know, it didn't, his butt crack, I think it sort of naturally is pixelated. So it just didn't feel like enough.
I mean,
was
that
blurred
scene,
out for me.
To me, that scene really looked like all of our homes during the first week of COVID when everybody was trying to learn to make bread. I mean, it was just like a lot of dough. It's like a lot of white.
Things were not rising.
Yeah.
So then Daisy goes up to Allie. She's like, so Alex just asked for spicy Bloody Mary. You want me to make it? She's like, no, I'll do it. Let me just take the bottle here and throw it overboard. No, Allie, that's not how you open a bottle.
I'm going to just put this Tabasco bottle, that's right, Tabasco, right here into the electrical socket. No, God damn it.
What you doing?
So then Gary is doing his special brand of flirting with Sydney, where he's just like trying to mansplain everything to her. He's like, so Sydney, you understand how to pull that boat in? She's like, yes, I've got it. All right. But she thinks it's hot for whatever reason. And then they just like, hee hee hee.
I'm turned on by a man who looks like a thwomp. So Allie is like, back home in Australia, I've been called once or twice a bogan. A bogan is a native Aussie, a little rougher in the edges. You know, talk with a lot of slang, loves playing with Legos.
Sorry.
Oh, I was like, wow, okay, fine. I guess we're not joking about Legos anymore.
I'm so sorry.
I guess the Lego joke is over.
Guys, it's a Below Deck recap, so I'm like, where are we? I just freaked out. I was like, where are we? Freaking so I had to search out for a bogan.
Bogan. So Allie makes this Bloody Mary, which actually looks delicious. I was like, I want a Bloody Mary now. And so she brings it out to Alex, but they're going to like relocate or something. So she goes to bring the Bloody Mary upstairs, and then she just like wipes out and spills the Bloody Mary, which I was a little shocked because on a normal Below Deck episode, that would be like the cliffhanger for the week. The Bloody Mary is spilled. What will happen now? See you next week.
Do you remember on Real Housewives of Melbourne? That's where we learned bogan, the term bogan, because someone told Jackie. They were like, oh, shut up, bogan. She's like, how dare you call me a bogan? How could you do that? That's a very offensive word where I come from, bogan. You don't say that to people, all right? You know what my angel guide told me? You're my a angel. Bitch, all right, for using the word bogan, all right? Shine, shine, shine.
Shine, shine, shine. So it's time to go sailing. So they start stowing away and everything. And we learned that sailing is like really meaningful to these people. We already knew it because like Nikki's dad was an avid sailor and he passed away. So this is like a tribute to him. So the sails are going up. And, you know, I said Natalie is taking the wheel. Oh, because I think the guest is named Natalie. Did she take the wheel? I think she took
the wheel. Mickey took the wheel. I thought maybe it was
Mickey, Natalie, Natasha. I can't.
Some lady took the wheel. Yeah. To, you know,
Jesus.
Yeah. Cause they're sailing people. And Glenn was like, you know, sailing is so meaningful to these guys. So we're going to finish with a bang, guys. And I thought, well, God, we don't know how her father died, but I hope it wasn't from gun violence. Cause that would have just gotten really awkward, sir. Okay.
It really would have. So, and then guys, Greg honks the horn.
I know that you're not going to feel good unless we have a little misogyny. So let's bring Gary in. Gary's like, hey, you got that, Toots? And she's like, I've got it. I'm stronger than you think I am, Gare.
Oh, when Sydney is steering now? Is that what I'm talking about?
I don't know. You know, it's a rope. I don't know. Just plug some in bogan. Something. Just Below Deck Mad Libs that shit. Pull a rope, you know, well, up a what? Sail.
Somewhere in this majestic scene, Greg honks the horn. It's like, and he goes, only a sailor knows the feeling. I was like, okay, Popeye. Relax. Relax. You're on a boat with sails. You may have been on them before. I don't believe that you were a sailor.
So one of the guys is like, come on, Natalie. If you don't know how to lean a boat, you're not a sailor. So she like turns the steering wheel and the boat tips
and they capsize and the season ends.
Then Greg is lost forever. Course we go to the kitchen where stuff is falling. That poor kitchen. Yes. It always gets the worst of it.
it's like the one place on the boat that they just never thought to put guards up. They're like, let's just leave this be. It'll be fine. That sheet pan doesn't look like it's going anywhere.
And it's always horrible things. It's like a clipboard that can fucking kill you. You know those things can cut your throat if you get it the wrong way.
I'm sure. I feel like that sheet pan has a death wish. Like the moment there's like a slight angle, like a 2-degree angle on the boat, the sheet pan's like, it's over. I'm killing myself. It just like jumps out of the cabinet. So... So now Sydney is steering, and then she starts talking about how she's used to boating by hand and all these on a sailboat, but this yacht has all sorts of buttons. And she's
oh,
like,
God, you know, that's a girl with a flip phone. Like, I just cannot with his fingers sliding snubbery. Across the screen. I mean, what are we, the Jetsons?
She goes, every boat has its own personality. My family's boat, Freedom, is very sassy. Sounds and sassy. Freedom.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then we get pictures of her family on the boat doing like Civil War reenactments or some shit. I'm like, what is this boat?
And why are you stealing Colin's storyline? Oh, I miss my freedom. And by freedom, I mean boat. So anyway. So now Nikki.
At one point. They're tipping the boat or whatever you call it. They're so leaning the boat. And one of the guys, probably Greg, goes, hey, where'd the wind come from all of a sudden? And they just point up at the sails. He's like, oh, yeah.
Wind, what's it made of? And so, yeah, it's sailing. And then Nikki and Rusty just start making out like crazy. They're like, man, there's something about a sail.
That yeah, just there really makes is.
Like, they are just like going at it. They're like, oh, yeah, jib. You know, they're in it, you know? It's like, there's something about a wind and a sail and thinking about sad things that makes me just want to make out right now.
So then we go to Gary talking to Jean-Luc, and Gary's like, all right, you know how to throw the line, right? Here's what we do with the line. You got to throw it over there. He's like, I know how to do it, bro. I know how to do it. So they get there, and guess what happens, guys? He can't get the line thrown.
The old line failure. This is like a thing that I feel like we have not really harped on, but certainly this is a below deck trope. The guy who can't throw the line to shore, man, that's, you don't want to be that guy.
You don't want to be that guy. It's really awkward. It's like a swipe at your manhood every time. And it's always a person that they don't really like, right? That they're like, hey, want to toss the line, bro? And they're like, yeah, I can toss a rope. Loser.
Yeah, it was. We had last season, it was Shane who couldn't do it. And then on Below Deck Met, it was Rob. And then on the last Below Deck sailing, I think it was Parker. Like, it's always the douchebag who just can't throw a rope. Can't do it.
So then someone's like, so now it's time to leave, right?
Yeah.
I guess they finally get the rope on. So now it's time to leave. And one of the guys is like, you know what? I lost my liver. I lost my dignity. Is that Natasha? Love you, Natasha. And so they all applaud her. And she's like, I was homeless one time. I'm from a very difficult life. They're like, great jobber.
I had a Toyota 4Runner. And Goodwill tires.
Oh, so they applaud her, and Greg's like, your shit tastes like heaven. And the music's like, well, not your shit, but your food. Your food tasted great. Oh, yeah. My shit does too, actually. You know, a lot of people have tasted my shit, and it's actually done pretty well, I'll say so. I have great shit. I'm very confident.
As we have a toilet that's just, you know, we had a sort of a heated seat, so that was very nice. I had the heated seat from ages 13 to 15, and then it broke, and then it just became a normal seat. It was still usable. Any other facts that people need to know about me? Anything?
All right. Anyway, so this, I just want everyone to know sailing is so special to me. And this isn't just a trip. Like, you guys are our family. Thank you guys. I felt like my dad was here. That I would give everything I have. I'd pay $1 million for it. And I was like, wow.
Wow. She's like, just like my family, I pay them to do things for me. So, they're like, oh, by the way, and here we all signed a captain's hat for you, Glenn. It's like, oh, thanks for the autographed hat, you non-famous people. Like, thanks for the non-famous autograph.
Where'd you get that hat? Oh, you know, a bunch of douchebags really obsessed with the 80s. Well, signed it. So.
We had some douchebags on the boat, and they stopped at a novelty store, and then they signed this cap. Which will be worth nothing in a few years.
Ever. Ever, it's actually worse. It's actually worth less now than it was when they bought it, which is kind of
funny. Turns out it was made by the most famous novelty hat maker in all Croatia.
Oh, God. I unplugged my headphones again.
Uh-oh. Right, oh, well, you should. Did you forget to steal your headphones? Did they fall off? Did a sheet pan come flying at your head and knock
this
them off?
This is the kind of fucking week we're having, okay? We messed up an audio recording. We lost an entire episode. My headphones are just flying out all over the place.
How many headphones do you have? 20?
Let me tell you about my first pair of headphones.
All right, Natasha, sit down.
So now they're gone, and so Dee's like, all right, everyone, let's start stripping beds. And then Gary goes in, and Gary starts measuring the beds to be like, and it turns out that Jean-Luc is in a bed that's 6'1", because he's 6'9". And so then he does some measuring. So now it's time for the
like he doesn't meeting. Quite believe him, right? Yeah. But then we find out that he did believe him. He was just seeing which bed was longer. But they made it look like, oh, really? This guy says he's too tall. I'm going to measure the bed.
Oh, I don't believe it. He looks like he's 5'8 on a good day. So now it's the tip meeting. And Glenn is like, well, I think that Natasha did a wonderful job. And Nikki really seemed to love it. And then Natasha looks, everyone and goes, and the crew? And they're like,
we loved it Natasha. Too. It was great.
This reminds me of when I was in the 8th grade production of Guys and Dolls. I was in the ensemble.
Okay. It was $22,500, which is like $2,500 each. Also, I'd like to end this meeting by saying, who doesn't love puppies? No one. Puppies are great. Next time you feel sad, think of puppies. Okay? I'm Captain Glenn. Have a great day, everybody.
All right. So, you know, unfortunately, I can't, you know, you guys can't go off the boat because there's some unseen force out there that we cannot address, but you have to stay on the boat tonight. So have fun, but please don't go crazy at all because this is just below deck sailing yacht. We're the more tame one. We're the gentle little sister to the other below deck. So just be chill.
Yeah. You know, I just wanted to say we're going to get catering for you, but since this is sailing yacht, catering means pizzas ordered. Okay. So that's how this is going to work.
So then Gary is like, well, hello, Jean-Luc. So you want to jump in my bunk, you know, since my bunk is actually taller. It could fit your stupid big body. You want to do that? And Jean-Luc is like, no. I don't want that. I don't want that. It's like, I'll let you know if it's becoming an issue. Like, if it's becoming an issue, like, you are complaining about it nonstop.
You're going to need knee surgery by the end of this. It's an issue. But he's determined not to sleep with the captain.
Yeah. Which I think would be the most adorable pairing because, you know, Glenn is like the shortest guy on the boat and he's the tallest guy and they could be like a hilarious reboot of twins, you know? Lean against him.
So Gary's like, oh, this guy missing duties, missing heaving lines.
So then Sydney is, I don't know, everyone's getting
ready
getting and talking, right?
Yeah, and she's like,
look at me, I'm not wearing a shirt. I would be naked 24/7 if it was socially acceptable, as it was on Freedom.
That's why it was called Freedom. Hashtag sassy boat. So then pizza, drinks, and beer. So the pizza's there, and like some people don't like mushrooms. They're like, ugh, mushrooms. And Natasha's like, I could have made this as I did in 7th grade when we had a science class, and I said, I'll make pizza for science class. Like, okay, Natasha.
My first pizza dough, that's when I realized what I was made of. Like, oh my God, pass the salt, all right? So Gary's like, oh, hey there, Daisy. ¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa? She's like, oh, so you do speak Spanish. And he's like, oh, yeah, I moved to Spain, and all I had on me was a pocket dictionary. So I looked at that a few times, and then before you know it, I was speaking the language.
El come una manzana. I'm saying that because I'm learning Spanish right now. That was what I learned. Did I say it right?
Oh, you little butthead.
Yeah. Well, maybe not, but I'm out of the butt. Yeah, I'm
learning
it.
Because you took that sign-up code.
Well, I mean, I thought it was for both of us.
Well, I did too. Well, wasn't that a disaster?
Well, you're getting a new code. In case you guys can't tell, we are learning languages.
Actually, I am getting a new code.
And I've learned how to say he eats an apple.
Yes, I am getting a new code. So guess what?
He runs.
Necesito un code y recibo un code. Okay.
La mujer Nada. Which is actually a little bit relevant to the show. There's swimming.
So they start giving Allie shit for being vegan. And Gary's like, if a guy wanted a steak, would you ask the guy to brush his teeth before you kissed him? And Natasha's like, oh, you know, I cannot be with a man who smokes either. And he's like, well, I'm going to smoke after this and I'm eating meat. So I guess that's a double whammy.
And during all this, every time he talks to a woman, they keep cutting to Sydney, giving the nastiest look. Like,
yeah, because he's flirting with everybody.
But they're making Sydney be the crazy one, right? She's like, and she's like sitting at the end of the table, just glaring at Allie and all that. She's like,
yeah, you can't get jealous of the guy who's giving it out to everybody. That's like walking around Costco and being like, oh my God, that guy likes me. He just made me a piece of a chicken sandwich. Like, to give it to everybody.
Hello, there's Colin here. I'm the guy who always pulls Gary away to see which girl he wants to bang. So Gary, do you mind stepping over here for a second? First of all, I miss my boat. Second of all, so, Brew, who do you want to bang now? Huh?
You make the wrong decision at your start and you ruin your entire season. He's like, it's too hard, bro.
It's like sleeping in a bed that's too small for your feetsies. So
he's like, hot tub, clothes optional. Anybody want a clothes optional hot tub?
So everybody goes to change into their bathing suits. And Daisy's like, oh my God, yeah. Those girls are... Oh no, that's not Danny. Daisy. Yeah. She's like, those girls are so hot.
They're so fucking hot. They're hotter than a great sale on Absolute Vodka. So then Allie's like... Allie and Daisy are basically bonding about having cellulite. And, you know, they feel like a little self-conscious, etc. And then they're upstairs again and they're like, Danny, your boobs are so nice, because they love Danny's boobs because they're fake. And she's like, they're expensive. They better be nice. And then and then Jean-Luc is just like,
So let's see. Daisy's like, well, I understand how the girl feels with her insecurities, but you know, maybe you're 65 when you become comfortable in your skin. I'm hoping. So they all start getting in the jacuzzi, and Natasha's like shaking her ass and stuff. And Danny is, Danny's like, this is like Girls Gone Wild. I'm not really sure what's going on here. Everybody's so frisky.
So frisky. And then Daisy's shimmying. And then Jean-Luc is just drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking. I'm like,
That guy. He's that guy. He's just like, he's wasted. He's about to drown in the hot tub. And Sydney's like, who's the drunkest girl here? And they're like, Jean-Luc is the drunkest girl here.
Colin's like, Jean-Luc is white girl wasted. So, So then they're like, so again, like Jean-Luc is again talking about how he doesn't want to sleep with Glenn. And then Gary busts out some absinthe shots. I'm like, this is a bold move at this stage of the night to be pulling out absinthe shots.
Yeah. So Sydney is talking to Allie. Who says this? Allie says this to Sydney. She's like,
yes. If I put my glasses on you, you'd look so much prettier than you do. I mean... To me, you look beautiful, but what I mean is...
Like, why are they making out now? Because that's really fucking rude.
It was really rude. But she's like, mine. Just a bogan. So they're just making out, and Sydney's just like, whatever, I'm just happy to have a body next to me. And Colin's just like watching from the side. Like, they're definitely having sex tonight. Oi. And, then Sydney's just doing like a split on the hot tub, and they're all just like, Gary is just like going at whatever's closest to him, because he's with Allie, and he's like kind of kissing her and being all jokey and everything like that, and Natasha's just glaring at him, but he's just whatever's moving, he's ready to make out with.
For real, he's like a fly on a fruit bowl. I mean, it's just anything. So Allie pulls him in and kisses him, and then Allie's like, you know, I'm undecided on Gary. He needs a fun girl in his life, I think, and I'm a fun girl. So Sydney's like, time to go to bed. you know, because she sees that. And yeah. So Natasha is, you know, TMI Natasha over there. She's like, I've never used a vibrator in my life. Let me tell you something. I haven't had sex in 5 years. And then it was in a Toyota Corolla in an alley after my house burned down and before a rainstorm. So you put two and two together.
This generation of men does not have the intelligence that I'm attracted to. The only person I've been attracted to is the following. His name is Pierre Vincent, and he was a very intelligent person. I met him in 2019. He was 6 feet tall, brown hair, was prone to wearing flannel shirts, and had a nice hip line. Any further questions?
I don't go for normal. I go for extraordinary. So unless you can add to my life, I don't need this in my life.
It's like, okay, you know, you don't have to yell at the people knocking down your door when there's nobody there. Okay, give it some time, Natasha.
I know. I was like
literally, nobody is knocking right now, okay?
So now Gary has moved on to Sydney. So he's with Sydney, and Colin's like, drunk Gary is just a horny motherfucker. Sort of like me when I first saw my boat in Panama. Is that what you want, producers? Yeah, I had sex with that boat. Oh, I had sex real good.
Talk about sticking it to the dinghy. So Sydney and Gary are making out, and she's like, am I a good deck hand? Please tell me. Oh, God. Cringe. So yeah. Then they start, like, kind of messing around under some towels, and everybody's watching them, and everyone's starting to get kind of annoyed with them. And the girls are kind of grossed out. And Sydney, you just hear Sydney going, you're a good person, right? Yeah, he's a real fucking Boy Scout, okay? He's dry humping you under towels in front of the entire staff.
And he's your boss. And Natasha's like, she's like, what you do will affect the people around you. Are you stupid? Are you stupid? Like Jonathan Van Meyer in third grade?
Are you stupid? Did you count 4 pitas or 20 pitas? You tell me.
20 pitas? Are you joking?
So Danny leaves kind of annoyed because she liked Gary too, right? And so she's like, oh, yeah, awesome. So Gary basically makes everyone think he likes them. So they're like, what the fuck is with this guy? So she leaves, and then everyone basically follows. Natasha follows, and Jean-Luc is like stumbling around the boat like, man, yeah. You don't want to be around someone that large when they're drunk. That's terrifying.
No, it is very terrifying. I mean, it's like a fourth mast on that boat. So then Sydney is talking to Gary, and she's like, I would never make a move on my first mate, you know? And then he's like, hey, fuck off. You pulled me aside. And you're like, I want to kiss you. Which makes it okay, even though I'm your boss, because you started it.
So Natasha is saying, why was I thinking Allie would be with him? But then it's Sydney who ends up with him. And Danny's just like giving her this fake smile in bed. Like, are we really going to talk about this? Because I'm going to kill somebody. Like, he has such an angry smile.
Yeah. And then, you know, Jean-Luc is like puking. And Natasha's like, he's such a baby. He can't even drink. So yeah. Then there's like hijinks. I just wrote hijinks. There's like silliness going on the boat.
Yeah, they're all kind of running around drunk on the boat. And of course, Jean-Luc is barfing like a lot of barf.
He's that guy. He's that guy. He drinks by himself in the corner and then he barfs. It's just like like really adding nothing to the event.
So he comes back and he gets in bed and Colin's below him and he's like, did you have a good chunda? What the fuck is that? It's throw up. Did you have a good throw up? And he's like, yeah, it was very productive. And then Jean-Luc begins his monologue that goes on for the rest of the night. His drunken monologue to himself in his sleep.
Which is basically like, yeah, sky, good. Baby. He goes, I don't even rass him. I don't give a rass ass.
It's good to know he dreams like me, like dream of telling people off. Like, this is what I would have said. You know? What do you mean you won't take this back because it's not in the proper time frame? Well, guess what? The proper time is now. Yeah, nailed it. I sure told him. Yeah, I sure told him in my dream.
Yeah. So Jean-Luc is wasted. And Colin has a pretty good attitude about it because I would be like, you better fucking shut up. I'm trying to sleep. But Colin's like, hey, this is hilarious. This is absolutely hilarious.
So Gary comes in. He's like, what, mate? Why are you going to bed? He's like, I thought you were hooking up with Sydney. Listen, and if you want my advice, go somewhere else. If you want my advice, which you probably don't. He's like, I'm going to go talk to the girls. Hey, girls. Come on. You want a party? I don't mind banking with the captain, but not right now, right?
Yeah, and like in the room with the three girls, there some of them are sort of like topless or whatever, and they're just like around, like they're in like one joint towel and they're jumping around, and Gary's like, yeah,
and so he's like, let's have a lesbian party, and no one will hang out with him except Sydney, and so they go into one of the guest rooms, guest cabin drama.
Guest cabin, right off the bat. Yep. And so they go in there, and they're like kissing under a sheet or whatever, and he's like, I'm going to take off my shirt if you don't mind. And she's like, yeah, cool. And then they're like in bed, and then she goes, I love sailing. I'm probably the most attractive girl on board. He goes, maybe.
And she goes, nah, I am. And then she shuts the door on us. And he goes, this is not a seasonal thing. This is a one-night stand. Take off your shirt. She's like, yeah. All right.
Well, he goes, I definitely think we both should be naked. And she goes, take your shirt off. And then he goes, I think you should take your bra off as well. She goes, fine.
Dun, dun, dun.
And it ends with Jean-Luc going, I assume.
They're fucking good shot. Yeah, so this ratty crew of kids. Look at them.
Wow. Yeah. Ratty crew of kids. Oh, amazing.
Fun episode for sure. Everybody, thanks so much for being with us. We will be back tomorrow with some Real Housewives of Dallas, and later in the week with New Jersey and then Summer House. So stay with us. If you want our bonus episodes, just go over to patreon.com/watchwithcrappens. Watch our bonus videos. We do 2 recaps a week on video. Those are super fun. And I think that's it for today, baby.
That is it. Wow.
We'll talk to you guys soon. Love ya.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony. Junie, she's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Patricia Murdoch, she wrote.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto. Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler. Let's give them a kiss, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will. Joanna Rockland, you.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthew Sisters. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.